Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is Wednesday, and that means it is time for another house call from the Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, Dr. Lena Lee. Dr. Lee, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Always good to have you, and always good to have our next guest as well, Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector. It's been a while, Kim, but it is so good to have you back on.
Thanks, Bob.
Now, Kim, we'll be talking to you in a minute about something that's been going on in the region. But first, Dr. Lee, we wanted to get a brief COVID update. We know that there have been more cases that have been popping up. And one of the big questions that we get is, where do you find a COVID rapid test now? A lot of the grocery stores and so on no longer carry them. So what do you suggest that people do?
Yeah, so just as a quick review, there's two types of tests. You can get the rapid tests. Those are the tests you do yourself. And then there's the PCR tests, which are the official, goes into the provincial system. We get a version of if you test positive, et cetera, at the health unit. So the rapid tests you can get in two ways. Some pharmacies are still carrying them. If you spot one at a grocery store, they're always free. So you can pick them up. But the main way actually is going to be at one of the health unit offices. And so we have at every office location that we have, we also have the ability for you to pick up some rapid tests. And so please come on in and grab some tests. As for the official PCR test, so that's the one that someone else does the test for you. It takes a couple of days to get the result. Actually, most of those are available at, or the places most available is at pharmacies. I would encourage people who are eligible for Paxlovid, please get that PCR test. But if you are eligible for Paxlovid, you can get the rapid test as well, but the rapid test will miss some cases of COVID-19. And so the PCR test is going to be the most sensitive. And so if you're eligible for Paxlovid, I would certainly recommend the PCR test so that you know you're eligible and you can get it. You could also do both if you'd like, but either way, those are the two tests available.
So maybe give us an update. Are we seeing a surge in cases? I know it's a little bit more difficult to, to determine that, but you have the wastewater testing and so on and so forth. What is the feeling from the health unit right now?
We sure are seeing a rise in COVID-19 cases regionally, as well as across the province and even across North America. And that's as a result of a new variant. So once again, we have a new variant of COVID-19. And as we get new variants, sometimes those variants make previous infection less protective. And also because a lot of people are well over 6 months, most people are almost 12 months since their last dose of COVID-19 vaccine. And so we are looking at an overall population that's more susceptible to COVID-19, as well as a new variant, means that we are seeing rising cases in our region. We're seeing that in the case counts, as well as in the number of outbreaks in high-risk settings. And this is another key message I wanted to say, is that the way that outbreaks happen in high-risk settings, such as long-term care homes and retirement homes, is that there's circulation in our community, and that spills over into these high-risk settings. And so to prevent those outbreaks, the most effective way overall is to actually decrease the number of cases. And of course, that takes us to, what can we do? They're all the tools that we're familiar with. So none of this is going to be a surprise. I feel like, you know, if anything, people might think, oh, there's nothing new here, but that's good, right? So the same thing as we always do. So that's staying at home if you're sick. That's the most critical element. I myself am ill right now and I'm staying at home. And the other is to wash your hands. So COVID-19 is less transmissible from person to person with unwashed hands, but certainly flu and RSV are circulating as well. Well, flu less so, but certainly RSV and rhino. And those can be decreased with washed hands. You can also, soon we're going to get the COVID-19 vaccine, that new version available. You can get the COVID-19 and flu vaccines at the same time. So they're certainly always recommended. And the other thing to do, if you are feeling ill, or if you're not sure, or if you're recovering from illness, or if you want to protect yourself, certainly masking can be one of those precautions as well. So lots of different things that people can do. Again, none of them are a surprise. There are tools that we always have in our toolkit, and hopefully are familiar messages. Oh, and the last thing I'll mention, of course, is distancing, right? So at least 6 feet apart from each other, all of those things are helpful in preventing the spread of COVID-19 as well as other respiratory viruses.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Dr. Lee. I know you'll keep us updated, as will the health unit, as we move forward and more people move inside. As we hear, the temperatures are going to get colder. We've been pretty lucky so far with the sunshine out there. We did want to talk about something else today. Eastern equine encephalitis. Dr. Lee, can you tell us what this is?
Yeah, you said it right.
I
Encephalitis
did.
is the word. Yeah. So, triple E is a rare disease that can be caused by it is caused by a virus that mostly bites horses, but occasionally also bites humans. So it's the same mosquito that bites horses, bites humans, and in fact it prefers to bite horses or birds. But sometimes if a human is walking around and there's that mosquito and it's looking for a blood meal, then you're the lucky person. So as the name says, encephalitis is an inflammation of the brain, and that is the main symptom and also the most severe symptom that it causes. It is infrequently seen, but is seen in our region. And certainly, the LANARC region for us is one of the regions where we've had evidence of triple E on and off over the years. And by that evidence, I mean we've seen horses, especially this year, we've had a number of horses actually get infected with triple E. And so we know that the same mosquitoes that are biting those horses and transmitting triple E to those horses can also transmit it to humans. We also know that horses do not transmit triple E to humans. And so it's not that you would get it from a horse. What would happen is that the mosquito may bite a horse, and a mosquito also with triple E may bite a human. There are about a dozen cases of triple E in humans in the US every year, but it is infrequently seen as human cases in Ontario. We've had about three over the years. The fatality rate for triple E is very high. It is most frequently fatal for anyone who has the infection. So it is quite serious. And knowing that we have those mosquitoes that are capable of transmitting triple E in our LANARC region, especially, makes it really important for us to be getting that word out. I should also mention, it's not just in LANARC County. There are other in the Ottawa region, in the Kawartha Lakes, and Peterborough region as well. The virus seems to be a little bit elusive. And so we don't always know where it is. And so I would say, the specifics of which part of LANARC region, for example, is probably not that useful. We know it's certainly in the area.
Okay, now Kim, Dr. Lee just mentioned that there are cases of triple E in Lanark, Ottawa, and also the Kawartha Lakes. So, what can be done? Is there a vaccination?
Yeah, so Dr. Lee is right. We are seeing it in different regions of Ontario. And for horses, there is a vaccine. Unfortunately, there is not one for humans, and it's probably because it is a relatively rare or very rare disease in the human population. But the problem is when horses are vaccinated, that virus can still be amplifying in the mosquito population, but we're not necessarily seeing it because the horses are vaccinated. So it's typically unvaccinated horses that end up suffering from Eastern equine encephalitis. Horses are particularly vulnerable to this mosquito-borne virus, just as the name kind of implies. But the thing is we humans, we're out in the woods, we're working with horses, we're out hiking, so there is that opportunity for an infected mosquito to bite us as well. So it's good for us to keep an eye on the horse population. And if we are seeing cases in horses locally, then we should take those extra precautions to prevent mosquito bites.
Now, Dr. Lee, we know that the Triple E virus is transmitted through the bite of an infected mosquito. We've made that clear. It does not spread like a traditional virus would, or say a more common virus like COVID or the common cold.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about the other symptoms of Triple E, those symptoms, either from horses or from people, do not spread the virus. And so there is no person-to-person spread of Triple E. And in fact, it oftentimes doesn't cause symptoms that are consistent with other viral, the ones that we're most common with, most familiar with. So the coughing, it doesn't really cause coughing, sneezing. It doesn't really end up secreted in, for example, your saliva or your mucus, or any other fluids. And so it really isn't something that transmits from person to person, more so from mosquito to person.
So, Kim, who's at risk for becoming infected with Triple E?
Yeah, so it's important to remember where these particular mosquitoes live. They do live in wooded, swampy areas. So if you're out working in fields, or if you're, working in the woods or hiking in the woods, those are the times that you may actually become exposed to a potentially infected mosquito. We have to remember that not all mosquitoes are actually carrying this virus. The problem is we just don't know which ones are. So it's just important for everyone to take those precautions. So the way the virus gets here is through migrating birds from the south. They bring the virus up with them. The mosquito will bite the bird, and then in turn bite the horse, and sometimes incidentally bite humans as well. So that's kind of how the virus gets here. So it is really hard, with West Nile virus, we would say, control standing water around your home, because that particular urban type of mosquito likes to, we call them container urban mosquitoes, because they like to live in your eaves troughs and in your toys that may have been left out that have collected some water. And you can easily dump those, but this type of mosquito likes to live in the wood. It likes to live in swampy areas. So those types of standing water, that type of standing water is very hard to control. So it is important that we take measures to prevent mosquito bites. And we'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay. And Dr. Lee, we have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get this point out there. How soon do people get sick after getting bitten by an infected mosquito, and what are the symptoms?
Yeah, so the mosquito usually bites, and sometimes people don't realize that they've had a mosquito bite, or they've had a particularly bad go and they've had lots of mosquito bites this year because there have been so many mosquitoes in the region. Oftentimes you're getting mosquito bites on and off over the course of the entire season. It does take about 4 to 10 days after a bite to develop the symptoms of Triple E. A lot of people actually don't develop a severe disease, or they may not get ill at all. And that's quite frequently seen for viruses. The effect of an infection can be really variable for viruses. However, like I said earlier, you can get severe cases, and those severe cases are oftentimes fatal. And so so encephalitis will cause, and as well, it can cause meningitis. So both of those will cause, for example, decreased loss of consciousness, or decrease or loss of consciousness, you know, can cause confusion. And then fevers, chills, headache, and vomiting. So no respiratory symptoms, but certainly some of those more general, or can be more serious symptoms. Oftentimes people who get ill will end up being hospitalized because of how serious the symptoms are. And then for a subset of people, like I mentioned before, it can be fatal.
Okay, and Kim, let's talk a little bit about how people can reduce the chances of getting infected with this virus.
Yeah, so a lot of people will know these precautions because it's the same precautions that we take for Lyme disease, which is actually a greater risk in our area. So, you know, if you're going outside, you know, make sure that you're wearing an insect repellent that contains DEET or a keratin. You can buy clothing that has an insect repellent in the actual clothing, and it works quite well, apparently. I've never tried it myself, but works quite well. If the weather permits, wear longer sleeves, longer pants to cover up the skin. And, you know, if you have a child outside in a stroller or in a playpen, make sure that you can put the covering over top and that you have good screens on your window with no holes to keep those mosquitoes out. And then, of course, where you can on your property, try to eliminate mosquito breeding grounds. So, for example, for this particular type of mosquito, we know it likes to live in wooded areas. So if you have drainage ditches or culverts, clean the leaves out to keep the water flowing. And of course, if you have ornamental ponds, you can circulate them and just really use those personal protection methods to prevent mosquito bites.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for this information today, both the Triple E information, which is a lot easier to say, and the information about COVID, and making sure that our listeners are aware of what is going on. So, Kim, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Lee, as always, we look forward to speaking with you next week.
Yes, absolutely.
If people would like more information, I have a feeling that they can go to healthunit.org and find more there. Kim, you're nodding your head.
Yes, of course. We have lots. And social media.
And social media too, indeed.
Yeah.
all right. Thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Our guest today on In Focus, Dr. Lena Lee from the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, and Kim McCann, also from the Health Unit. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perot. Have a wonderful afternoon.